I'm Angela.
And I'm Dan.
And this is the Flower Confessional Podcast. Good morning, Dan. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. We're finally doing this. This is great.
I know. I'm excited.
Yeah. So let's talk about what the Flower Confessional is and the origin of it and give a little introduction about what we're going to be doing.
Yeah. So I feel like this whole thing just kind of came about from when we would just be sitting down at our table in the mornings drinking coffee, and we would have these discussions that would go into deep topics surrounding anything like life or relationships or business or anything like that. And we realized that we had this vase of flowers between us across the table, and Angela mentioned one day that it kind of felt like a confessional because we couldn't see each other's faces, but we were talking. So we just kind of gave it that name off of that.
Yeah, it was one of those organic inside jokes, I think, where it's really only funny to us, but we explain it to people and they get it. So I love flowers, and I had a vase in the middle of our dining room table, and that's where we have breakfast every morning and have our coffee. And so I'd be trying to talk to Dan and I couldn't see his face. So we were talking about how it was like a confessional. So it became one of those inside jokes where we'd get a text one way or the other that said, are you ready to confess, or flower confessional at 9 a.m., whatever. So that is the origin story of it. Dan, why don't you talk about some of the stuff that we've talked about that's been significant to you?
Yeah, so, I mean, we've covered a lot of topics, but we've talked about things like just everyday relationships, whether it be romantic or friendships or family. We talk a lot about being aware of emotions and things like that. We both got way into meditation through that.
Mm-hmm.
Just a lot of self-love and self-help stuff, and just kind of looking inward and reflecting and looking at the areas in life where we need to progress or level up or what have you. So that's been a huge topic for us, and we just figured that it would make a good podcast to talk about those things that we discussed. We would find ourselves sitting at the table an hour later and being like, well, that could have been an episode.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think for me, there's so many cool dynamics that are part of this thing that we do. The fact that it came organically was kind of magic, because I think that there are lots of people that they have a really passionate interest about a specific thing, and they're like, I want to do a podcast on that, and they kind of formatted in this very calculated, intentional way. And I kind of feel like the Flower Confessional found us in a way. I sort of feel like, oh, like, this wasn't a thing we were planning to do. This is just a thing that we do anyway. And as we were doing it, we were like, this needs to be archived in some way and shared in some way. And so the plan as of right now, and we might tweak this later, but the plan is that we're going to do our Flower Confessionals like we've always done. We're going to do those multiple times a week. When we get up, one of us makes a French press of coffee and texts the other person. If you hear meowing, that's my cat. but we make a French press of coffee, let the other person know that we're ready to rock, and we'll sit down and we'll just ask each other, how's it going? Or we'll share a story or something like that. And it's never been a struggle. I mean, we've been doing this basically since you moved in.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, so I think that that's funny. It was like, you maybe lived here for a couple weeks, and then all of a sudden it was like, hey, how's it going? And then we just started talking.
It just turned into something.
That's, I don't know, that's super cool. So we've been doing it, you know, almost every day. I mean, we've been on trips and stuff like that, but it's crazy when, like, I went to New York, and I was in New York and I texted Dan and I was just like, we haven't had a flower confessional in like 4 days. And I just thought that that was the moment for me, I guess, when it was like, oh, this is a thing that is really good for us and has become part of our routine as friends and our routine as human beings. And there's a lot of really special things about it. I think that we both have a similar energy in the sense that we're both empaths. I think that we both have a certain level of feminine energy and masculine energy that in each of us. So I think that you have a lot of feminine traits and I think I have some masculine traits and I think we play well off of that. But we also have a really similar sense of humor. We're both entrepreneurs, small business owners, and we are both people of faith who are trying to figure out what that means.
Totally.
You know, so can you talk a little bit about your spiritual background, just so that we get a sense of who you are and where you came from and what your ideas are now? Because that's a big, big topic in the Flower Confessional is faith and spiritual stuff. So talk about that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I grew up in the church all through my childhood. And I experienced a lot of different denominations within that. I ended up going to private high school. I went to a Bible college for a few years. And I found myself really turned off by that specific denomination that it was. And I thought that it was me being turned off to faith in general. But over the years, I've found myself kind of coming back to it, but just looking at it differently. Like, I'm not really sure what I think sometimes. I have a good church community now that I really love. That's very welcoming. But I just know that there's something bigger than us as humans going on. And I'm not always sure what that is, but I'm seeking it out. And I feel it. I can't let go of it for whatever reason.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. So we talk about law of attraction. We talk about manifesting, we talk about stuff like that. So we'll talk more about this in later episodes, but talk about how that jibes with where your faith is evolving right now.
Yeah, I'm not sure what I think of it all, but it's been a topic that's come up lately and we discussed a lot in Flower Confessionals, but I just feel like your mood and what you think of yourself has a lot to do with what you accomplish. And it's not so much that thing of like to me, it's not so much like thinking that you're going to find a $100 bill around the corner and then finding it. But it is a lot about if you have a negative viewpoint of yourself and you think that you're going to mess something up or not be able to accomplish something, you're probably not going to accomplish it. And if you think that you can get something, your chances of getting it just based off of that positive attitude and going for it lends its hand to you being so much more open to actually achieving it. So we just kind of discuss stuff like that too.
Yeah. And also it's cool because I think you and I are both open-minded in the sense that we're not religiously legalistic, but we come from backgrounds that might be a little bit more legalistic. So to give a little bit of background on me, I had a totally different upbringing than Dan. I was raised by an atheist and an agnostic. I always knew there was a God, or I always really believed that there was a God, even though that was not present in my home at all. And actually with my dad, who's an atheist, it was very shunned. I remember telling him that I believed in God, and he said something like, well, that's bullshit, there is no God, don't be stupid, that kind of stuff. And so I started studying Judaism when I was 17, 18 years old, and I ended up finding out that I am Jewish on my mom's side. So my great-grandmother passed away, and she was buried in a Jewish cemetery. So it was interesting to me that I specifically sought out this type of faith, and then I ended up halachically and I guess ancestrally having that background. So I thought that that was cool. And so I practiced Judaism for a few years. And I liked the fact that it was structured, because when you're an atheist or you're agnostic, there's really nothing, at least from my parents, there wasn't anything really spiritually driving them. So I liked the structure of Judaism, and I liked the ceremony of it and how they made things special, but there was a lot of, I didn't feel Jewish. I didn't feel Jewish enough because I wasn't raised Jewish. And even though from a halachic, like Jewish law, like according to Jewish law, I'm Jewish because being Jewish runs down the matriarchal line. We went through all these life cycle events. I just didn't feel like I belonged there, and I didn't really know why. So I started to kind of withdraw, and then I had this major life crisis, and I became a Christian, and I threw myself into church, and I really started doing a lot of healing, like support groups and prayer and that kind of stuff in the church. And it was really healing for me, but what I didn't really realize at the time, it was the most vulnerable time of my life. And the sort of indoctrination that I heard ex-evangelicals and stuff like that talking about, I really felt like, well, I go to this really liberal church that's super progressive, so I've never experienced anything like that. And it really took a couple years of believing some of these doctrines, or kind of being indoctrinated a little bit, and then realizing that it didn't jive with my values, even as progressive and everything as the churches that I was going to in here in Minneapolis and in California. There was a lot of misogyny, and there was a lot of kind of grooming women to be submissive and passive, and giving a lot of people who were deliberately doing the wrong things a pass. I didn't like that. I was feeling a little lost with it, and then spiritual awakening, and I started ascending very quickly and seeing the world kind of through new eyes. So I love Jesus. I love who he is and who he was and what he did. And I love that he, even now, he's such a radical. But in terms of Christianity as a religion and the church, I'm so uninterested in being associated with that. And I've started to explore more like folk religion and pre-Christian feminine-led faiths, so witchcraft and New Age type of stuff. And then I've been doing a lot of Eastern meditation philosophy kind of stuff, which you do as well. And what's interesting to me is, and we've talked about this, but there are parallels. Like when you've studied different religions and actually practiced different religions, you can see parallels that run through kind of every major religion. A lot of that is that love is who we are. Love is our mission here. Our mission on earth is to grow spiritually, almost like earth is sort of the spiritual boot camp. And also, there is this running thread. When I say law of attraction, I don't mean that in like the sense of the book, The Secret. What I mean is you're able to attract or magnetize good things to you or bad things to you. And that's not to say that kids that are starving in Africa are drawing negative shit to themselves.
Right.
There's a victim blamey part of the law of attraction that is extremely unappealing to me and should theoretically be unappealing to everybody. And also, yeah, the looking at the law of attraction as if it's kind of the prosperity gospel of just like, yeah, you know, just you know, God is this genie, and yeah, you just rub the lamp.
Machine.
Yeah, you just rub the lamp and just $100 bills start shooting out or whatever. But there is something in every major religion that I've studied or that I even know a little bit about that says something about your state of mind and how you look at the world, and how you look at the world influences what happens to you and whether good or bad things come your way. Because there are people, obviously, that we know that have overcome tons of adversity because when you talk to them, they believed somehow that there was something better out there for them than despair. And then you see other people who seem to have had a lot of wonderful opportunities, and they'll blow it, and they blow it because they don't believe they deserve it. So that resonates with me. But when I look at the basic principle of the law of attraction or of manifestation, you can see that in the Bible. Like, that's biblically sound. You hear a lot about, or you can read a lot about what you, you know, that you need to renew your mind. And that if you speak it into existence, that it will happen, or that if you utilize prayer to draw things to you, that God or the universe hears you. That's something that runs through a lot of different faiths. So I think that that's really cool, and that's a big part of what we talk about as well. And then in addition to that, we talk about relationship stuff, everything from friendships to romantic relationships to modern relationship structures, I guess. So yeah. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because I've just been doing a lot of talking. Surprise.
Yeah, who knows what topics we'll cover, but I'm sure it'll be a lot of things about just being present with people, whether it be if you're a parent or your relationship romantically or just with friends or family. A lot of that will go hand in hand with things like self-care, because I honestly believe that if you're taking care of yourself, it's allowing you to be able to take care of others too. Because if you aren't loving yourself, or if you're not treating yourself right or giving yourself what you need, you only have so much to offer other people. We'll also just talk about things like treating people with general respect, whether it be topics about equality or just ways that you can serve other people or things like that.
Yeah, totally. And then, so finally, this is another thing that I want you to like just go off on, because you're so awesome with this. So Dan's an entrepreneur. I'm a makeup artist. I own my own business. Talk about what you do, and talk about your passion for learning about business and entrepreneurship.
I have a nerdy passion that's turned into a career. I sell baseball, basketball, and football cards. And I use social media as my platform. I actually sell exclusively on Twitter. So a lot of what I do is based around trying to remove the walls that a storefront feels. I don't want online to have a cold feel. I want it to be very personable. I just love learning anything about business and social media, and the fact that the word social is in social media. I love just connecting to people. I love building communities. I love growing those communities, and then I love helping other people do the same with their businesses.
Very cool. And you seem to have a passion for looking for and finding and following people who have that same passion.
Right. Gary Vee is one of my all-time favorites. He's a guy who helped turn his family's wine business into a huge thing, and he does all sorts of stuff, but he's just so pumped all the time, and he genuinely loves what he does. Like, he used to work in sports cards too, which really resonates with me, and still loves it. But he loves going to garage sales and buying and flipping things, and that's that's something that for sure I love. Like, I feel a deep down passion for that. Like, the other day I saw him go to a garage sale and buy a mug for 75 cents and get so pumped that he was going to sell it for $5. And this is a guy who's worth like $176 million, getting pumped about making $4.25 on a Saturday. And I just love that. I love the idea of genuinely loving the work that you do, because I just don't think that it's worth it in life at all to do a job that you don't like, even if it means way more money. Because for me, it's all about the lifestyle. And I think that's part of the reason why Angela and I are the way we are with our businesses, because we know that we can do things like this or just sit down and have coffee and talk and still work in the day.
Yeah.
The 9-to-5 thing doesn't do it for me. And Gary Vee pumps me up so much. He's really awesome.
Yeah. We'll have to do a podcast episode on him, because he's just he's the king shit at Fuck Mountain. He is so cool. I love that you introduced me to what he does, But the thing that really grabs me about him, he really loves what he does. And so it doesn't matter if he's taking a 75-cent mug and flipping it for $6 or whatever, or if he's taking his family's New Jersey liquor store and turning it into this huge wine empire. The guy just really fucking likes what he does. And that's what makeup artistry is for me. That's what cards are for you.
Yep.
And so I think a big part of a lot of the conversations that we have are, wow, we're people that really need to find joy in our work. We enjoy working, but we don't just enjoy working for a monetary payoff. Like, I could never, I have a friend who keeps, he works for like a financial company, and he's like, I can get you a job, and I can get you a job starting at like this salary, and it's 9 to 5, and it's stable, and it's this kind of stuff. And I don't want to say I can't do it. I don't want to. And I think you have that same philosophy. When I get up, I'm a morning person, you're a morning person, you leave, you go, you know, get your daughter off to school, you go for a walk around the lake, you go to the Y or whatever, and then you come back, and then you sit down, and you have coffee with me and all that. I wake up, and I do my meditation, and I set my intentions for the day, and I get up, and I make my French press, and I sit down, and I check my emails, and I feed my cat, and it's like there's this really gentle flow state with what we do, and I think that we're the types of people that if we have to fly out the door and be somewhere to work for someone else and get paid to help somebody else live their dream, as opposed to getting up and going to work to go live our dream, that's something that psychically or psychologically or spiritually affects us in like a negative way. And I don't meet a lot of people like that, especially in the Midwest, because I think there's a humility here and there's a desire to play it safe. And I feel like you and I are people who like to keep stress at a low level. We like to have this lowered stress capacity, but yet we've made progress in businesses that when we tell people what we do, they're like, really? Like, wow, like how did you do that?
Yeah.
Or, well, do you have a day job? Is that all you do? Like, we get a lot of questions like that, and I definitely want to talk about that more. And I think I probably speak for you too when I say that where we are in our lives right now, of course there's ups and downs, and there's times where we're like, oh my God, I'm broke, or like, what the hell am I going to do? Because that's in some ways part of it, at least for right now. But I feel like neither of us got into the things that we're into with the idea that that was one day going to be our only job, or that, you know, I never pictured doing what I do and making the money that I make and having the freedom that I make. I thought I was going to be like a counter manager of a makeup counter, and you just liked cards, and you just, that was just something you did for fun. And then you were like, I can try to make money off of this.
Yeah.
Right. It wasn't,
yeah.
You didn't intentionally sit down and be like, this is my life goal, but it was just something that a passion, you just took it to where it is now. So faith, religion, we're going to talk about relationships, social and political issues. We're definitely going to talk about business. And finally, the last thing is, Dan and I are really into self-improvement. Dan's a lot better at it than I am.
We listened to this really interesting podcast where this guy who has done, was it marathons? All sorts of...
Yeah, he's done like, I think he's done Ironman type of shit. Like the most strenuous endurance competitions in the world that people are just not supposed to be able to do, and he'll do like 9 a year.
Yeah,
his name is Ben Greenfield. Yeah. Take a break, dude. So he has all of these, he has a podcast, and he talks about all these things that he does to optimize his mind, his body, and his spirit. They tell you in the beginning, take some notes, because this is a lot. And Dan and I talked about it, and we were like, we should try to implement some of these things, see how they feel, and then report back to them on the podcast. Also, we do guided meditation. I don't know. Do you do them every morning? Do you do them every night? Or do you do them like, because I'm like really religious about it. Like, I'm like, nope, I got to do my meditation in the morning. I got to do my meditation at night.
I honestly haven't been super great at doing them lately, but I always feel better when I do.
Yeah.
I can say that for sure.
Yeah. And it's funny because for me, it comes easily. Like, I've always struggled to be athletic. I tend to date people who are a little bit more on the athletic side, and they'll get up in the morning and they're like, I gotta go to the gym. And I'm like, I don't know what that feels like. Or I'll know what that feels like for 2 weeks and then I'll stop.
Yeah.
But in terms of spiritual things, like, I'm all in, and if I wake up and I don't do my meditation, it feels weird. It doesn't feel right. And so I think people that are naturally athletic or they have something about them that's really passionate, that tends to be a thing that's every day. I follow a guy named Aaron Dowdy. He's big on law of attraction, but he wants to take it to a higher level. He's really big on manifestation. He's really big on Eastern philosophy. He talks a lot about how there are infinite numbers of universes. He gets esoteric, but then I think you don't have to be esoteric to be into what he does. So I shared some stuff of his with Dan. And Dan and I both did a 21-day guided meditation. We would sit down and we would talk about what we were going through during those 21 days. And so we want to do more stuff like that as well and talk about how it benefits us or affects us or maybe doesn't benefit us, depending on what it is. We always seem to be able to take something from it. I don't know if that's our personalities because we're like that. We're always kind of searching for meaning, or if it's a thing that we're just getting really lucky, or we're open-minded enough to absorb benefit from whatever.
I think we're also just willing to take what works from something without either throwing the whole thing out or taking the whole thing in with the one thing.
And I think we feed really well off of each other. So that's going to be kind of the framework of what we do, and we're really excited about it. We've been talking about doing this for several months now. We're finally doing it, so I'm really stoked.
Yeah. I just want to say, too, that one of the really cool things about, even outside of this podcast, just Angela and I talking together, is I feel like we've always had something to teach each other, and one thing that, like, at one point, one person might teach someone something, and someone else might build off of that, or as our listeners, I hope that you guys are also willing to teach us things as much as we may or may not be teaching you, because we definitely don't claim to be the masters of that, but we're just kind of talking about these things, and we might have shifts in our thoughts along the way, and we're just kind of open to the mystery of it all and figuring it all out, which is also ties into, I feel like, our faith journey of just figuring out what this all is. We just know that something's going on bigger than us. And
yeah, definitely. Very cool. All right, so we're going to wrap this up. You can follow me at Angela Morris Makeup on Instagram.
And you can follow me at Dan Noethe, that's DanNoethe on Instagram.
And we will probably be making a flower confessional Instagram. But when we create that, we will let you know in an upcoming podcast. So thank you so much for listening and stay tuned. We're going to have more episodes and they'll be a little bit more focused next time. So yeah, thanks, Dan. This is exciting.